Amen. Amen. I'm enjoying myself tonight already. Are you?
Yes.
You know, he was talking about cast your bread on the water. Throughout Scripture, the water always represents spiritual things or nations. When you step out of the boat, you step onto the water. Cast your bread on the water and it shall return to you. How many of you know anything in your hand is a seed, anything in God's hand is a harvest?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So when we place ourselves into the nations of the world, God creates harvest out of that. It's a powerful thing that God does. Amen. I'm excited to be here tonight. It looks like Gary over there is actually getting saved in this congregation. Excited for that. It's really good to see all the pastors and friends that are here. And some of you are just looking. Look at your neighbor and say, you look better than the guy I sat next to this morning. Amen. You know, my wife wanted to tell you that she loves you and said hello to everybody. She wished she could have been here. Just a lot going on today and a lot of things happening. And so some of you, let me just kind of give a review. I know some of you heard this morning, but I've recently taken a position as executive director over Church on the Rock International. And basically, in a nutshell, we don't even know how many churches we really have. The Church on the Rock International kind of went into a lull. The leadership of it had a stroke. So for several years, Dr. Lawrence Kennedy had a stroke. So for several years, it just kind of floated. And now it's revamping and coming back together. So we're somewhere around 45,000 churches, I think, is where we're at. And so my job is to oversee all those churches and to create vision in them and turn them back into a church-planting viable organization. So right now, we're planting hundreds of churches per month in different nations of the world. Our target is to have we want 1,000 churches in Europe in the next 10 years, minimum. We believe God's doing something in Europe. So we're planting churches. We've already planted 2 into London. We've got 16 more to go in this year in just to London itself. So we're asking God to do great things. Amen.
Amen.
And I just came back from India last week. We had crusades of 60,000 plus. God doing great things. And it was fun because I'm still Church of God, you know. So I sent in my monthly report as an evangelist. It was fun to put salvations last month, 13,000. Baptized in water, 4,000. I don't know what they're going to believe at the headquarters, but it was fun. And those numbers are probably really short. It was just kind of cool. But I can tell you what, baptizing 4,000 people in water, after a while, you're a prune. You just want out of the water. That's all I want. Just get me out of here. But it was awesome, and God's doing great things. And we just saw, I've seen things that were just mind-blowing. I'll quickly share. I shared with Pastor Luke and some of the others. I traveled with a guy into India this last time. His name is, we'll just call him Brother Richie. That's his first name. He is a professional saxophone player. He fills Madison Square Gardens. People come to hear him. He plays with Billy Joel, Elton John, Celine Dion, all these kind of people. He does backup sax for them and plays. He's just phenomenal. He pastors a church of about 1,000 people in New York City, and he plays the sax. This year, God told him, I want you to play your sax, and I'm going to set people free and heal and deliver them as you play. So here we are in India, and you got to understand the setting. It's just a different kind of setting. You got all the women sitting on one side, all the men on the other side, and they're just very quiet, mellow people. So he gets up there, and I don't know if they've ever heard of sax or not. I really don't know. We're not in the main city. We're out in the country. Okay, this is the first night of cruise. Let me tell you how powerful this setting is. The first night we had 40,000. Okay, this is the people who have never had a crusade before. I mean, they come out of nowhere. These are not church folks. Amen. And so, anyway, he gets up there and he starts ripping with his sax. It's like this demonic cloud rested in this area, right? But when that sax played, it was like it ripped it open. I don't know how to explain it to you. It was the most incredible thing. So he would get up there and he's playing this sax and he's playing jazz, I think. I don't even know what it was. But it really sounded cool. I sent a little videos. The videos just don't show really what was happening. And he'd get the people to their feet, and pretty soon you got all these Indian people clapping. This is completely against their culture. They're clapping, they're excited. Suddenly he comes off the platform and just starts walking through the crowd. Now this guy can play a sax with one hand as good as most people can with two. I mean, he can play. It's really incredible. And he just walked through the crowd. He'd walk up to somebody who's demon-possessed or blind, just walk up to him. While he's playing the sax with that one hand, put his hand on him with the other hand, and you can just see him set free. You see him get healed. I said, man, let's play the sax all night. This is awesome. We don't need me. I don't need to preach. Let's walk around and play the sax. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I absolutely was thrilled with it. It was awesome. I invite that guy to go with me everywhere. It was just fun. So God's doing great things, and we're excited about what God's doing in our lives and what He's doing, opening doors all over the world, literally. Next month I'll be in Oklahoma City ministering with Dutch Sheets and Cindy Jacobs and those people in a conference, and just God's doing great things. But I can also tell you God's doing something great in the Pacific Northwest. And I was telling the church this morning, there's something about this region. I didn't feel it. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I just didn't feel it in Tacoma. But when I come up out of Tacoma and up into this area, I could just feel the heavens open. Amen. There's just something that God wants to do, church. And you're sitting in the middle of it. If you're not careful, you just get used to that. You get used to it. And you don't realize the dynamic of what God has for your lives. There's something that's happening. So I'm going to minister something I've never preached before. It's brand new. But I felt the Lord would have me minister it here tonight. I want to talk to you about forward vision. Okay, forward vision. And if you'll give me a few moments to build this, we'll just see what God will say to us. Is that all right tonight? Yeah. Now, if you're this is the first time you've ever heard me preach, I see a few new faces. Let me help you with the rules. The more you say amen, the sooner you get out. So, you know, if you want out early, just say amen a little bit more. The Dairy Queen closes early. We got to hurry. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12:1 is my general text. This is where the Lord started and downloaded this into me this last week. I got this while I was sitting in Mumbai, India. God began to give me this thought. And so I want to minister it to you. 2 Corinthians 12:1, it says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast." And here's the phrase, "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." I want you to say that with me. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. That's a prophetic declaration. Say it again. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Things in the kingdom of God only move through visions and revelations. Okay? That's the only way it's going to move. So let's talk for a few moments, if I can, about what a vision is not. What it is not in the Bible. Okay? A vision is not the same as sight. Sometimes we think when we talk about vision, it's something that's like natural eyesight. But Jesus talked about that you'll see things that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. So when we talk about vision tonight, we're not talking about natural eyesight. Second of all, it's not the same as your goals. Somehow we get this mixed up real easily. We think that the vision that God has for us is whatever our goal is. But I can tell you it's possible to have goals that are not part of the proper vision of God for your life. A lot of people have goals that aren't part of their vision. Okay? And the next thing is, vision is not the same as your plans. Sometimes you think that vision is what your plan is. So you can get plans. I know a lot of people that have plans that aren't in line with the vision of God. Amen. They have plans. They're planning to get married to somebody they ought not marry. Amen. They're planning to do things that they ought not do. And it's part of their plans. And they'll say it's God because it's their plan. They think that their vision is their plan. They think their vision is their goal. They think their vision is what, but it's not. Here's my favorite one, is vision is not the same as what you would like to see. Right. See, a lot of times this is where we get things messed up here. We often try to pick out what we want or like. We want to have a church that does it this way, or we want to be a part of a ministry that does this. It's our likes. It's our preferences. And we try to then make that be the vision. Okay, we think that's our vision. This is what we like, so that's our vision. Oh, amen. I'm going somewhere now. So I've had a lot of visions of myself. I've had visions of myself doing what Pastor Keith did tonight, playing that guitar. But how many of you know that was just a vision? It was a piece of dream. Okay, it wasn't real. Okay, and so one guy walked up to me one time. He said, "Pastor, I had this most incredible God dream." I said, "What was it?" He said, "I saw $100 bills falling from heaven and falling on me. It was like I was buried in leaves out in the yard, but they were $100 bills. What do you think it means?" I looked at him just straight in the face. I said, "It means go get a job and go to work because money doesn't fall out of heaven." Amen. Oh, amen. I'll keep moving. You can't just make something be your vision, be your dream, because that's what you want. Somebody say amen. Okay. So vision is, and I'm going to try to make it real plain, real simple here, and then expound on this so you can catch it. Vision is inspired. Inspired means it comes from God tonight. Now, inspiration can come from one of two places, but we're talking about a God thing tonight. Vision can either come from heaven or hell, amen? Inspiration, I mean. How many of you know there's a lot of inspired music that didn't come from heaven? Okay, so there's two types of inspiration, and we're talking about a God inspiration here. So vision is God-inspired internal direction. God-inspired internal direction. The Bible says we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. So vision causes us to, when I talk about vision, it's something that's not necessarily what we see, but we see it internally. It's something that internally, even though external things may not be present at all, there might be nothing to substantiate what you're seeing on the inside. Something on the inside is seeing it so strongly that it motivates you in a direction. You feel inspired, let's say, to start an orphanage in India. So all of a sudden, there you have no funds, you have no support, you don't know any Indian, you don't know anybody, but you're driven that direction because of the internal vision. Are you following what I'm saying? So that it's something, when I first arrived years ago to Oceanside, the church grew to be thousands, but before it grew to be thousands, we met in a storefront. And I didn't have an office, so we put a little divider wall, and that was my office behind it. And I would sit behind that little divider wall and have visions. Amen. And in my prayer time before church, I could see people lined up outside. I could see thousands coming. I could see the music going. I could see the altars packed. And then they come and say, time to start service. I step outside, and what I saw was not what my vision was. I saw the deadly dozen. You know what I'm talking about? The psychopaths. There they were, sitting there for me to minister to them. And so you know, I want you to catch this. But inside, I didn't know where or what, but I knew that it was. I knew that somewhere that vision I was having was going to come to pass. Eventually it did come to pass, and we had hundreds being saved and thousands coming to the church, but it wasn't something that I saw in the natural. It was something inside that was inspired, that wasn't something I made up. It wasn't just because I wanted it. In fact is, after I pastored large churches, I'd rather pastor small churches. Oh, okay, we'll just get off that and keep going. Large churches come with large problems. And there's a lot of stress, a lot of things. So these visions drive you. They push you. What I'm trying to get across to you is a vision from God will push me in a forward direction towards whatever He's showing me in my spirit. Okay? So vision is required. I want you to hear this again. To move something forward in the kingdom of God. We want to see our churches in Sumner, all the churches in the Church of God, Church of God of Prophecy, Church of God, the church here, the church in... tell me what, we want to see our churches move forward. To move forward, we have to have vision. Okay, Jesus said it this way, if blind leaders lead blind people, the destination is always going to be the ditch. So what's he saying? He said, without a vision, you fall in a ditch. Okay, without vision, you can't move forward. So everything in the kingdom of God has to have vision. It's not, now here again, it's not goals that churches have. It's not agendas that we have. It's not what we want it to be. It has to be inspired from God. Every church has a different inspiration from God. Every person has a different inspiration from God. This is not something we gel up. This is something God gels up. Okay, it's something that God places in us. So vision is often absent of details. It's often absent of details. God seldom gives you the details of your journey. Seldom does He give you the details. So God tells Abraham, I want you to get up from here and go into a land that I will show you. So now he's got an internal vision. He's being moved forward to what? He don't even know. Okay, but he's moving forward. Now this is rehearsed. Go into this land that I'm going to show you. It's a land of milk and honey. This is rehearsed for generations. He tells his son Isaac. His Isaac tells Jacob. This goes on for generations. But I want you, every time you read it, never does it say on the journey you're going to meet giants. Nobody said nothing about giants. All they talked about was milk and honey. Nobody talked about walled cities like Jericho. You never hear nothing about no Jericho. All you hear about is milk and honey. So God sends you on this journey. He tells you about the milk and honey, but He didn't tell you about the giant. Oh, amen. When God called your pastor here, Pastor Keith, to this area, He didn't tell him about having to come through this building. He didn't know he was going to be here with you guys. Had he known the details. Amen. When God sent Pastor Jack Harris to Iraq, he didn't tell him he'd be 2 years without a convert. He didn't tell him he'd have to deal with all this stuff. When he sent Chuck Davis over to the Philippines, he didn't tell him that the Philippines were going to have typhoons. Now you hear me? So I've come to a concept. Now this is my own concept. It's not necessarily scriptural. But I've come to this idea that if God doesn't mention, it's not necessary. Okay? The reason God didn't mention giants, because the giants were not really going to hinder the plan of God anyway. The reason God didn't mention Jericho, because those walls were going to come down anyway. It was really irrelevant in the big picture. So sometimes when God says something to you, and all of a sudden you go, well, yeah, I didn't see this, it's because it's not important anyway. Oh, amen. If God doesn't mention something in His design and in His purpose, whatever it is, can't stop the vision from coming to pass. If it could have stopped the vision, He'd have told you about it. If He didn't tell you about it, you married that woman, He would tell you a lot of things because it wasn't important. Because He knows that you can build that. Your marriage wasn't to make you happy anyway. We all think it's about happiness. It's not about happiness. It's about holiness. She's going to make you holy. You're going to pray like you never prayed before. Amen. Look. God speaks to you to start a business. That's awesome. You want to start a business and you want to bless the kingdom of God with your business and you want to bless your family. Great, awesome things. What the vision doesn't tell is the details. All the paperwork you're going to have to fill out. The IRS you got to deal with. He doesn't tell you about all the people you're going to hire that won't work. Amen. Okay, so vision, when God gives you vision, He doesn't necessarily give you details. Most of us won't step out of the boat because we want the details. But vision, true vision from heaven, very seldom gives you details. I want you to hear this because a lot of you are waiting on the details and you won't get out of the boat and you're missing the opportunities that God's sending your way. So I'm trying to help you. Some of you have had great opportunities for your life to have great kingdom influence, but you haven't got out of the boat yet. Oh, amen. There's three levels of vision. Let's talk about this for a moment. There's, first of all, very important level, personal vision. Okay? Everyone in this room should have a personal, God-given vision. Something that God has spoken into your spirit that is driving your life into a direction of the kingdom. Now, a lot of us think that our vision is our career choice. Well, I chose to be an engineer. Can I tell you something? Your vision is bigger than your career choice. It's bigger than your career choice. Your career choice ought to help your vision, but it doesn't matter. The vision is bigger than a career. So let's keep those right. A vision is something that's internal, that's driving you forward. I believe every family should have a vision. I believe you ought to actually write it, put it on your refrigerator, and train your children in the vision. This is children, this is what we as a family believe, and this is the direction we're going as a family. We're going to love each other. We're going to celebrate each other. We're going to always speak truth to each other. We're going to be kind in how we speak. We're as a family going to represent Christ in the world. We're as a family, and you have a vision for them. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. Okay, so everybody needs to have these visions. Where you're going? You haven't obtained it yet, but you're walking that way. I want you to say with me, I must have a personal vision. If you don't have that vision, you're going to end up in a ditch. The Bible says, without a vision, my people will what? Perish. You're going to perish. So it's very important, if you don't have a vision, that you start to prophesy every day, and you start to pray every day, I will come to visions and revelations. I will come to visions and revelations. I must have a vision. I must have it from God. It's desperate. I must have the vision or I'll end up in a ditch. I must have the vision or I'll fall by the way. This needs my declaration every day. Now that I'm in this new position, God, give me vision for where to take these thousands of churches. Give me vision how to put this together. Otherwise, we all go in a ditch. I'm the blind leader. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay, it's very important. Now, the second level of vision is corporate vision. Corporate vision. Now, I talk about corporate, I'm talking about the church body, the local church body. So tonight we're going to use Shelton because that's where I'm preaching. I'm not using Tumwater, not using Sumner, I'm using you. Okay. Now, in the personal vision, it was, I must have it. In a corporate vision, it's different. I must connect to it. I must connect to it. So the local church has a vision. You as a person must connect to that. Everybody say connect. Okay? So this level. And then there's the third level of vision, which is kingdom vision. Kingdom vision. With kingdom vision, it's a little different. Personal vision, I must have it. Corporate vision, I must connect to it. Kingdom vision, I must submit to it. Everybody say submit. I must submit to it. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So we're to submit to that. We're looking to connect to that. And it's very, very important because many, many churches have not connected their corporate vision to the kingdom vision.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay, let me give you a biblical example. We have a king named Assyrius. That means Lion King. He's a type of Judah, a type of the light. He's a type of God, the kingdom of God. Assyrius is having this great time in the kingdom. He's got all of his nobles and his princes there, and they're all looking at all this goods that he has. One of the things that he has is a beautiful wife by the name of Vashti. Vashti is a woman which represents the church. But the church is not at the kingdom party. The church is up the street having her own party with all of her friends and all of her buddies. A little religious gathering, a prayer meeting, a Bible study. Oh, hear what I'm saying? So finally the king says, I want my queen, the church, please join us in the kingdom. And the queen says no. Suddenly the queen, he loves the queen, she's not killed, but she loses her influence. She loses her power. They remove her, and then we have a queen called Esther that rises up in the Bible. Okay, so God has to raise up another movement. I've watched lots of churches that God tried to call to the kingdom, but they said, no, we're busy doing what we're doing. And they lost their influence in their communities. They lost their influence in their ministries. Oh, amen. So 20 years you come back and it's the deadly dozen still there, and they're still doing what they're doing, and they miss what God was doing in their community. I'm going somewhere with you. So the kingdom is bigger than the church. The church is bigger than you. But you have to start with a personal vision. You must have it. Then you must connect to the corporate vision. The corporate vision then must submit to the kingdom vision.
Yes.
Are you with me? Everybody say amen if you're with me.
Amen.
Okay, so each of these visions now, follow this, must connect to the level over it.
Yes.
You have personal. Where do you and I live? On the earth.
Yes.
Where does the corporate operate? In the spirit. Where does the kingdom operate? In the heavens. So there's levels. There's levels. Please follow this. This is very, very important for your life. Okay, so if my personal vision is to be fruitful on the earth, I have to connect it to the one that's above it, which is in the spiritual dimension, the corporate. I must connect to the body of Christ. Okay? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God has not put you in the local body and given you a vision that's opposite of everybody else in here. Mm-hmm. You'll watch people come in, and they have their own vision, but they won't connect that vision to the house. Okay? So what they want to do is they want the church to serve their vision. I'm going somewhere. So they come in the house, they got this great idea, and it could be a great idea. It can be whatever it is. They come in here and they won't really connect to anybody else. They want you to serve them. They want to run a ministry, but they want you to run it for them. They want to use you to run their ministry. Instead of them connecting to what God's doing in the house, they want the house to connect to what they're doing. So now we're moving it from spiritual back to natural, instead of from natural to spiritual. Oh gosh. Lord, please help me communicate this. Let's say you come in here and you have a vision that is to teach people to pray all over the world. I believe Pastor Keith would go for that. Is that come on, somebody say amen. I believe that vision could connect to this house and be just fine. I believe that if you want to teach people, I believe he'd say amen, go for it. I believe if you want to start businesses for the kingdom of God to help raise funds for the kingdom, I believe he'd say amen, go for it. I believe there's a lot of things that he would say amen, go for it. Amen. Okay, and so you can connect through the house. If you do that, if you begin to connect through the house, then God will cause something to happen. It's kind of like tithing. If I give my tithe in a church, how many of you know I gave out of my heart? Now, if the pastor does something crazy with it, God's still going to bless me.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right?
Now we get all weird and we start trying to do weird stuff. And where'd you spend my money? I want to know. I want an account of where my money went. Have you ever done that at Starbucks? You walk into Starbucks. Give me an account of where my dollar went. The only place you'll ever do that is in the church. Right. Now, why would you do that in a church and you wouldn't do it at JCPenney's?
Right. Come on.
I'm going somewhere here. See, it's a weird spirit. What's happening is there's a reversal of roles. Oh, amen. I'm trying to help you. And what happens is that because of that reversal, something inside of you kinks and God can't flow from heaven down because the chain has been broken. The dimensions of God moves through a certain pattern, a certain flow. It's always from heaven to earth. It's not from earth to heaven. It's from heaven to earth. And so if you take out the spiritual level and it's all about you and it's down here and how everything's working your way, you've missed the whole dynamic. Now, the responsibility of Pastor Keith is to take the corporate vision of this house and make it somehow submit to the kingdom vision. His responsibility is to make sure whatever we're doing in here, God has the right to say, we're going this direction. You have to connect to that direction. Whatever that direction is, you connect. If he says we're going to India, you're going to India. As a vision of the house. If he says we're connected and working with Philippines, you connect and work with Philippines. Now, let's say you're a prayer guy and you want to teach everybody in the world. That's all right. Teach them in the Philippines. See what I'm saying? You connect who you are to the corporate, and then the corporate's connected to the kingdom. Suddenly, heaven is kissing earth. Suddenly, here you are just trying to start a business, but you're connected to the house vision. Now God brings the right people in the right ways into your life. Just like tithing. Maybe it doesn't go right, but because you tithe, God will cause prosperity to come your way. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. It matters what you did, how you connected. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So you got to be careful in this vision thing that you're not going to get all the details, but you got to be careful that you don't try to make the church serve your vision. You make sure you're serving the corporate vision, and the pastor better make sure that the corporate vision is serving the kingdom vision. I'm trying to help you here, okay? So when you do that, there's a right flow that moves from heaven to earth. There's something's happened. Now, I've watched people over the years. I've been pastoring almost 40 years now. And I've watched people, I'm traveling all over the world, speaking in big churches and little churches, everywhere. And I watch people so busy doing what they're doing, that they never have time for the vision of the house. And what's crazy is I come back in 10 years and they're still on that same treadmill. Still doing what they're doing and no blessing is flowing. I watch churches that just do not connect to kingdom. They're overdoing their church scene the way they like church, whether it's with a lot of music or no music or with a lot of teaching or no teaching, with a lot of children or no children, whatever. Okay, whatever their flavor is, I watch them do it. And 20 years later, they're still on the same treadmill. Because somewhere they forgot to connect to a bigger picture called the kingdom.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, amen. So if you want forward vision, if you want to see God, see, I told them this morning, it would really be cool, and God could easily do it. There could be 100,000 people in the Tumwater Church.
Sure.
Yes. There could easily be 10 to 25,000 people in the Shelton Church.
Sure.
Do you believe God can save this community or not? Okay, so then believe it. Have vision for it. But it's never going to happen if everybody's doing their own thing and not connected to the corporate thing. And it's never going to happen if the corporate thing ain't connected to the kingdom thing. Okay, it has to flow a certain way. So are you following what I'm saying here? You guys are making me preach now. Everything we do, so now I'm leading these thousands of churches. Every one of those churches is just in survival mode, so to speak. They're trying to survive. The economy, the social structure, the politics of America, they're trying to survive. My job is to connect them to kingdom. If I don't get them connected to kingdom, their corporate vision is going to fall apart and their people aren't going to connect to them. That's why I tell every pastor, you got to get involved in missions. You got to go onto the water. You got to step out of your boat, out of your corporate boat, get on the water and go into the nations of the world. You don't step into the nations can't step into you. Oh, amen. Something is lost. Something is missing. The people won't have a vision and we'll all fall in a ditch. So it's very important that we connect all the way up. So I've learned this. Are you guys with me? Say amen if you're with me. Okay, 2 Kings 6. Now that we have that behind us, let's look. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city of horses and chariots. And the servant said to the man of God, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear." Everybody say, "Do not fear."
Do not fear.
"For those that are with us are more than those that are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he might see." Now wait a minute. He was seeing something. So we're not talking about natural sight. He saw armies. He saw. He could see. His eyeballs worked. But the prophet understood that he wasn't seeing internally what God was doing. It's easy to look in your city and say, it's a hard city filled with a lot of meth addicts. It's a this, it's a that. It's easy to see there. It's easy to see the armies and the trouble around you. But the issue is not that. The issue is, can you internally see what God's doing in Shelton?
Right.
Can you internally see what God's doing in the kingdom? He wasn't seeing what he needed to see. So, it says in verse 17, "Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of chariots, horses and chariots of fire." God had his army there. Amen. All around Elisha. So, he could see one thing, but he couldn't see the other thing. So, God said, "Open the eyes," listen to this, "of the young man." The young man. In other words, our responsibility in the kingdom to move forward is to teach the young men, the next generation, how to see into the Spirit.
Come on, that's right.
If they can't see in the Spirit, we can't go forward. One of the things I love about Pastor Maiden's church there in Phoenix, it's about, I'm not even sure how many people, let's say 17,000 people. And I would say 80% of them, was that what it was, Michael? You was there at that conference. 80% of them are under the age of 30. So the next generation is seeing. The next generation is seeing something. They're capturing something. They're seeing that God is doing something, and they're entering into that. Amen. So our responsibility is to make sure, listen to me, this is your corporate vision. I don't care who your pastor is or where, what church you belong to. The corporate vision of any house ought to be to reach the next generation.
Amen.
So we have to find a way that our music and everything we do somehow draws the young. If it's only a bunch of us old coots in here, we've lost it. We're one generation away from extinction. Amen.
Yes.
We've got to somehow reach this next generation. They got to see what we're seeing. They got to see what we're what brought us out tonight. They got to see it too. How do we get them to see it? Okay. Now, Elisha was not even worried. The young man was panicked. He panicked. Okay. So faith or fear is a result of what you can or cannot see. If you can see, then you have faith. And you realize God is with us. More are with us than are with them. If you have fear, it's because you're not seeing with any vision of God. Amen. Notice what it did not say. It never said that once he saw, the army disappeared. The army never did disappear, okay? The problem was still there. But suddenly the answer was bigger than the problem. When you have internal vision, the answer is bigger than the problem. Without proper vision, you're going to panic. When all of a sudden you step out of the boat, you panic. When all of a sudden God moves you to a new arena, or you get married, and about 3-4 months later you realize, oh, I might have married the wrong one, you panic. Oh, amen. Amen. I'm trying to help you. If you can't see, you'll end up feeling trapped.
Come on.
You'll end up feeling trapped. You'll end up feeling desperate. So vision then, hear me, vision is determined by what you have the power to see past.
Come on.
Vision is determined by what you have the power to see past. In other words, vision has to do what I have the power to ignore. I have the power to ignore. You would be amazed what you can ignore and get past if you have vision. You would be amazed. So if you have a vision for somebody, if you have no vision for the house and everybody's a demoniac in there, you say, forget it, I'm going home. But if you got vision for the house, those demoniacs look like converts to you.
Right.
You can get right past all their bad behavior. You can get right past all their inabilities. You can get right past that they don't tithe. You can get right past all those things because you have vision for them.
Amen.
If you have no vision for them, let them all go to hell in a handbasket. I'm going up the church. I'm going up the street to another church because I got somewhere where they, amen, somebody. So vision is the ability to see past a lot of things. It's the ability to ignore a lot of problems. Let me give an example. right after the typhoon over there in the Philippines. I mean, this typhoon was the world's worst typhoon. It wiped out hundreds of thousands of people. I saw a fantastic picture. I wish I could have found it again. I should have copied it, and I forgot. But what it was is a church that got wiped out, about 300 or 400 people. I mean, just decimated. The water is still knee-deep. And the people have come to church Sunday morning. They're standing in the water, and they're worshiping God. Knee-deep in the water. Their vision was bigger than the storm.
Amen.
That storm did not stop the internal motivation of God. Their vision was bigger. It was kingdom-minded. It was bigger than what was going on in their trouble. Now, here in Shelton, it rained, and somebody couldn't come to church tonight. Amen. Not trying to be ugly. A little rain, a little snow, and we can't get out. Why? Why? I'm not trying to be... Why? Because our vision is so narrow. The less vision you have, the more everything has to be just perfect for you to be able to get your praise on. I just can't praise in here, Pastor, because that drummer is just incessantly beating them drums. I can't get my praise on in here because these other people are sitting down on this side and standing up on that side. I'm just lopsided in my praise. Now, I'm not talking about trying to make things uncomfortable to see if you're a real monk for God. I'm not doing that. But I'm trying to say something to you. When David went out to fight with Goliath, all he had was a slingshot, folks. Okay? Now, one way you know you're anointed is that when you have substandard equipment, you can still get the job done. Huh? Amen. I was looking at those little women over there in India. I'm talking about they have nothing in their pantries. They have to go out and scratch around and get a few ingredients here and a few ingredients there. They don't have the right pots or pans to cook. They don't have the right, you know, one to steam the broccoli and one to do this just right. They don't have all of that. But when they get all done, they have a beautiful meal that nourishes their family and everybody celebrates. See, they've learned how to work with substandard equipment, substandard environments, and they get the job done. A vision will help you look past what you don't have.
Come on.
If you don't have no vision, then everything has to be just right for you.
Come on.
We used to plant churches and nobody had even a metal chairs. We didn't have a four channel PV. We didn't have, a mess. We started in houses and garages under trees in a park. Nowadays, bless God, when they come out of the university, they better have I want a church with 200 people. I want a steeple. Everything has to be just right. Why? Because there's no vision. The young man can't see. I'm trying to talk to you, okay? This is so important that you begin to understand this, because without this, now I'm not saying that we don't want the optimum. I mean, if we have the ability, how many of you know we want a sound system that actually works? We'd like to have a sound person that actually knows how to hear. Actually has both ears and they can actually hear the sound. We'd like to not hear squelching all through the whole service. I'm not saying we want substandard to prove something. And we're not trying to prove nothing. If we can have it excellent, we want it excellent.
Amen.
But if it's not excellent,
Right. Can
you still work?
Come on.
If the environment's screwed up and kids are running and I was preaching one time with a baby hanging on my leg.
Come on.
Mom's sitting there like she's oblivious to the thing. I just finally picked the baby up and held it while I preached. Can you still function when the environment's screwed up? You can't if you don't have a vision. If you don't have a vision, you'll come to a stop. I just can't preach in this house. Nobody says amen. Nobody smiles. Move me if you can, preacher. Well, then you ought to move them. Amen. It's not about the stuff. It's about the God of the stuff. It's about the unction of the Holy One. See, I've watched people. Suddenly they decide to go into exercise. We'll take Michael here. Pastor Michael decides he's going to become really good at exercise and he's going to become a tennis pro. What's the first thing he's going to do? Go down to REI or somewhere, buy all the outfit. He's going to have a tennis racket, tennis shoes, tennis pants, tennis shirt, tennis everything. He's going to look like a tennis star. He's going to walk out there like a tennis star with all of his... But did you know, he still can't play tennis. I don't care how you dress it up. All that exterior stuff doesn't mean you can play nothing. Amen, somebody. You can look the part. See, for me, I've never golfed. I can't golf. So if I go buy a fancy pair of Ping golf clubs, I still can't hit the ball. I was in Nigeria. I mean, we're out in the middle of a jungle somewhere. I can't even really tell you, outside of Warri somewhere. The dirt in Africa is this bright red dirt. And all I have to do is just look at it and I'm dirty. And when I step out of the van, it's like I'm bright red dirt smudges all over. I don't know how. And those people stay so clean. It just blows my mind. So this one little African guy, I'd say he's 18, 19 years old. It's hard to know. He comes walking out of the jungle, all white clothes and white tennis shoes and perfectly clean. First, I'm marveling. How did you keep your tennis shoes clean? I'm trying to figure it out. And he's carrying this old saxophone. When he gets up to me, the saxophone's all dented in, beat up. He has made his own reed out of some bamboo. He's got some kind of grass that he's cooked together and glued together with cow dung and stuffed it in there to make pads on his saxophone. And when that boy played, heaven fell. It was incredible. I wept and wept when that man played that saxophone. He didn't have the perfect sax. He didn't have the wireless mic. He didn't have all the agents to promote him. If he would have, he'd have had albums out. Amen. The man could play. But he had an anointing, an anointing of the Lord. He had a vision for his nation. He wanted to see people's lives touched. He wanted to play that horn for the kingdom of God. And heaven kissed earth through that man. Are you hear what I'm saying to you tonight? So vision helps you look past your messed up sax pads. It helps you look past what you don't have to see what you do have, which is a God in heaven that loves. It helps you understand. Amen. All of a sudden you can put up with we have substandard nursery equipment or substandard this or, hey, that's all right. We got a super standard God. Amen. One that's above the standard. One that excels. Amen. And that's the God we serve. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So it says in 1 Kings 18:41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of the abundance of rain.
Come on.
He could hear something coming. Now, this is not natural thunder. It's not something you could hear out there, or he wouldn't have had to announce it to anybody. Okay, so it's not something natural. So it says, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He bowed himself to the ground and he put his face between the knees. So now what's he doing? He's in a posture of prayer. Now he's getting ready. He's heard something from heaven. Something internal has moved inside of him. And now he's birthing it in prayer. Now he's birthing it in prayer. Follow me. I'm helping you. This is how God gives you a vision. God speaks to you to do something. Now you have to birth it in prayer. Then watch what he says. Watch what he says to the next generation, to his servant, the next generation. He says to the servant, go up now and look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. I don't see nothing. I don't see no clouds out there. I don't see nothing. Seven times. Now hear this. He tells this young man, go and see if you can see. I don't see nothing. Go and see if you can see. I'm telling you, ain't nothing out there. Go again and see if you see it. Man, I'm telling you, this is getting silly. I ain't nothing out there. Go again and see. Seven times. Seven times he went. Then it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, there's a small cloud the size of a man's hand rising up out of the sea. So he said, woo! Hurry up, run up there and tell Ahab, get in your chariot and get down out of this place before the rain stops you. Now, this is a picture of how prophetic vision is passed and cast. Okay? Passed and cast. He hears a sound. Now, in other words, internally he realizes the famine is over. God's moving in Shelton. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in my bones. God's moving in Shelton. He hears it. The windows of heaven are about to open. Okay? So he begins to pray. First thing he does is he prays and he intercedes. And then the prophet begins to what? Say it, proclaim it. Servant, young man, next generation, here's what we're going to see. Do you see it? Here's what's happening in Shelton. Do you see it? Do you see it? Everybody's going, I don't see nothing, Pastor. We keep coming to church every Sunday. I don't see nothing happening. All the pews are full. You don't see it? No. I don't see it. Amen. So he's working on this, okay? Just like, so here's what you do. God speaks to you internally. Follow me now. I'm trying to help you. He speaks to you internally. You begin to birth it in prayer, and then you begin to say it. You begin to say, you start to say things. You start to speak things. Like we are no longer, we are famine proof in Shelton. I don't care what Obama or any other president does, we are famine proof because our source is not on earth, it's in heaven. We will not live in lack. We begin to prophesy. Our city has the favor of a righteous God. And people will come into this church because our God will favor us. The next generation will rise up and leaders will birth. Signs and wonders and miracles will happen in this house. This is a place where hearts in the families, fathers will turn to their homes again. Children will turn to their fathers again. And God will move. We begin to voice it.
Amen.
We begin to say it.
Amen.
We hear it internally. We see it internally. We pray it in our prayer, and then we begin to voice it. Now, it's very important that he sends the next generation out. See if you can see it. See if you can see it. Next generation doesn't see a thing. They can't get on to what the old man's talking about. That crazy Pastor Keith is psycho. I just don't see what he's seeing. I just can't see how God's going to move in Shelton. Does he see all the meth addicts that we got? Does he see all the trouble we got? Does he see that there's no work to be had in this town, and he's telling me to prosper? They don't see it.
Right, come on.
I'm going somewhere. And he keeps sending them out there. So prophetic, he says to them, he keeps saying to them, go out there and say it. Go out there and see it. Go out there and say it. Finally, he gets the young man to say, hey, maybe I can see a little bit of what you're saying. Maybe I can just see a little bit of what you've been talking about. Once that young man catches that vision, amen, he knows the revival's on. Pastor understands. All of a sudden, Billy Bob caught it. All of a sudden, this thing's going to go. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now all of a sudden, the church has got forward vision. We're not driving out of the rearview mirror talking about what God did back there. We're looking out the forward window, and we're going somewhere. Something's happening. Now, I want you to catch this really important now for you older saints in here. No, anybody that's over 30. Talking to you right now.
Amen.
Amen. The prophet did not change his declaration. You missed it. He never said, well, maybe it's not going to be a real gully washer, but God is going to do a little something. He never changed his declaration. He stood to what he had heard and what he saw. He never changed. The young generation wasn't catching it, but the old generation kept with it. They kept their convictions. They kept their heart. They kept their declaration. Amen. We keep our declaration, we keep our heart, we keep moving forward, and the seventh time something started to click, amen. In God's perfect timing, it will connect. And when the next generation sees it, you're missing this. If you don't get some young people in here and get them to see it, it can't go forward. You got to, if you want the vision to go forward, the next generation's got to see it. And they can't see it if you don't say it. And you can't say it if you don't believe it. So how do you believe it? You get in prayer and you get it birthed in you. You've got to catch it from God that God's going to move in your city. You've got to believe it. That God's going to save your children. That God's going to save your psycho uncle. That your crazy Aunt Sally's actually going to get saved. You're going to have to believe it somewhere. You've got to believe it. And once you catch it, then you birth it in your prayer. You get it inside of you. You get it inside. Then you start to declare it. You start to declare it until the next generation can actually see it. When they start to see it, the revival starts. The rain starts. The flow starts. We're talking about casting vision. We're talking about moving forward. Okay? So first place. First, let's go backwards here. I'm almost done. Let's go backwards here just for a moment. It all starts when you say, I will come to visions and revelations. I will come to it. I'm going to come into this vision. All right? Now I don't have that vision for my city. I really am just hoping to see the chairs filled up. I just want to see 100 people. No. God's much bigger than that. You've got to come to vision. You've got to come to vision. You've got to come to revelation. You've got to come to it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You've got to come to it. You've got to come to the place that you know your household shall be saved.
Come on. Preach
that word. Corinthians says it. If your wife ain't saved, stay with her.
That's right.
And she'll be sanctified. She'll be made holy. She'll be saved because of you.
Right.
If your husband ain't saved, you hang with him. Now, if they're unbelieving, depart. You can't stop them. But if they'll stay, you stay with them because they shall be saved because of you. You are contagious.
Right.
Your children will be saved because you're in church serving God. I can't explain it. Maybe they're going to try to commit suicide just before they hit the pylon with their car. God will speak to them. They shall be saved. It's a promise of the Word of God. Now, you got to believe that. And if you don't believe it, then you got to pray it into your spirit. Once you pray it into your spirit, you got to start declaring it. So my kids aren't acting right, I talk to them like they're prophets. My kids aren't acting right, I talk to them like they're pastors and apostles. I speak to them like they're men of God because I know they shall be. Because I birthed it in my spirit. Are you following? I know the rain's coming. I know my children and my grandchildren will be saved because I'm speaking it. I have a forward vision. I'm moving forward. I have a personal vision, but I've connected it to the church and I've connected that to the kingdom. Now, therefore, heaven can kiss earth and my kids will be saved.
Amen.
Oh, I hope you're following this. Is this all right? Are you learning something? I got just a few more minutes. John 21. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to old Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, then feed my lambs. And he said to him again the second time, Simon son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, well, then tend to my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, do you love me? And Peter's grieved. Says he's grieved because he said it to him the third time. He says, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, well, then feed my sheep. Here's what's happening. It's actually impossible to walk with your pastor. It's impossible to walk with somebody if you don't catch a revelation of who they are.
Come on.
Oh, I'm going somewhere.
Come on.
Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're this, some say you're that. Pastor, some say you're psycho. Some say you made a lot of mistakes. Some say this. Pastor, some say that you got a screwed up church. Some say you got a screwed up family. Some say you drive a screwed up car. People say all kinds of things about all kinds of people, especially with Google. Amen. People are going to say stuff. They're going to say stuff about your wife. They're going to say stuff about your kids. They're going to say stuff. That's not important. That's not even, he don't even care. He's just trying to challenge his thinking. But who do you say that I am? This is, now let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. Who do you say Pastor Keith is? Who do you say? Well, if you get it right, he says to him, blessed are you. Because you didn't learn that by what your mom or your dad or what the city council said or what the newspaper said or what Google said. You didn't learn that by flesh and blood.
Come on.
But you learned that, huh? It's been revealed to you. It's been see, I will come to visions and revelations. Once you catch a revelation,
come on.
Then all of a sudden something unlocks in the heavens. Something unlocks. Something snaps. Divine revelation does not come to you by flesh and blood. It comes to you from our God and Father.
Come on, preach it.
So Jesus is teaching Peter something. He's telling him something. You can't connect with me, Peter, if you don't know who I am. Now, if you don't know who I am, you can't connect to my vision.
Right.
If you can't connect to my vision, you can't get to the court. If you can't connect to the vision of the house, you can't connect to the kingdom. If you can't connect to the kingdom, you can't get kissed on earth.
Come on.
So he's trying to teach him something. He's trying to say, now listen to me, Peter. You've been walking around with me for all these years. Okay? You've been watching me heal the sick. You've been watching me cast out devils. You've been with me all this time. Do you think that I was just hanging out with you because we're good old boys? I like you, Peter. I like your style. I like who you are. But we weren't just hanging out. I was discipling you. I was teaching you something. What was my heart about all the time, Peter? What was I doing? I was feeding the sheep. I was tending to the sheep. My entire ministry was working with people. My entire ministry was... Peter, our ministry is shifting here now. If you want to connect to heaven, if you want the power of to unlock the heavens, then you're going to have to connect to not just me as a person, but to my vision.
Right.
So, Peter, I'm going somewhere. Will you feed my sheep? Will you carry on the vision? Will you work in the...
Come on.
Right.
If you don't catch the vision, you can't connect.
Come on.
If you can't connect, there's no kissing from heaven to earth. So, Peter, it wasn't just about us hanging out together. It was me developing in you an understanding to love the people because I love the people. To disciple the people and walk with character and walk with integrity and carry yourself in such a way that people can find God through you. Peter, that's what I've been teaching you.
Come on.
So now, Peter, you go and you feed my sheep. You teach the next generation what I've taught you. You go and disciple the next generation the way I taught you. You take this vision forward. The purpose of me teaching you all this, Peter, is so that you can now teach the sheep the way I taught the sheep. So that you can now move forward the way I taught.
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Preach the word. Yeah. Come on.
Paul said to Timothy, what I have taught you, teach to who? Other faithful men.
That's right.
Okay? Are you? Is this all right tonight?
Yeah.
It's the only sermon I got. I'm trying to help you because I believe God wants to do something in your families, in your money, amen, and in your community.
Amen.
I believe God wants to do something in the Northwest. This is a dark spot of the nation. What a great place for a light to shine.
Amen.
It just sees, it's just brighter against the dark background.
Come on.
Amen. God wants to do something, but He can't do it if you can't catch the vision of the man of the house.
Right.
If you can't catch that vision, you can't shine.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Habakkuk says it this way, and I'm done. This is my final text, I think. Habakkuk 2, verse 1.
Yes, sir.
I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. In other words, I'm going to set myself on the wall. I'm going to set myself to fight. And watch to see. Watch to see. I'm going to watch to see. It's not just seeing in the natural. I'm going to watch. I'm going to come to visions and revelations. I'm going to watch to see what He'll say to me. I'm going to watch to see what God says to me. I've got to get it down inside. Everybody say, watch to see.
Watch to see.
He's looking for something internal. He's looking for that internal, that He's searching for the visions and the revelations. Now watch what He says. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it.
Right.
Now you can't run unless you've done what?
Read
it. So the first thing you've got to do is you've got to read it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's hard to teach runners how to read.
Come on.
Read this.
Yeah.
Can you read this? It's hard to teach. We got church people running here and running there and running here, and nobody's ever read the man of God in the house.
Come on.
There's a vision in the house. It's made plain by the man of God, but we're not reading the man of God. We can't read him. Can you read your pastor? Before he says anything, can you read him? Do you know where he's going to go in the service? Can you feel it? Do you read? Can you read his heart? If you can't read, you can't run. Oh, amen. Huh? See, I've got churches of people running all over the world doing all kinds of stuff, and they carry nothing with them. There's no impact. They go and they do stuff, and after it's done, there's no impact. There's no influence. Heaven didn't kiss earth. We had somebody doing a great little show. They put on a sideshow, but nothing really changed. Nothing really changed. We put on conferences and conventions, and nothing really changes.
Come on.
Nothing really changes. We all went out there, we spent our money, we spent our days, and nothing changes. No influence. Somehow we're disconnected from what God is doing in the earth because nobody can read. So I'm talking about being able to read the spirit of a thing. Can you read the spirit of what your pastor's doing? Can you read him? Can you read the destiny of where he's taking this church? He has in his spirit, if he's been praying, and I believe your pastor is a man of prayer, if he's been connected to heaven, then in his spirit he has a design, a purpose, a direction. Can you read that destiny? Can you read it? If you can't read it, you can't connect to it.
That's right.
If you can't connect to it, you can't connect to the kingdom.
That's right.
If you can't connect to the kingdom, you're not going to get kissed on earth.
Amen.
Well, pastor, I've been in this church for 3 months, and I still don't know what your vision is. Really? You can walk into a party and nobody likes you, and you can figure that out in seconds. You can read the environment of the bar. There's a fight getting ready to break out in here. I'm getting out of here. You can read that in moments, but you can be in a church house for 3 months and can't read the pastor?
Uh-huh.
Help us. Help us, oh God. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, verse 3. But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie.
Come on.
Won't lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now I have to admit, I'm going to have to spend more time on that. I'm a pretty good scholar, but I don't have a clue what that says. It says, I'm told to tarry because it will not tarry, though it's tarrying. That messes me up. Anyway. One thing I know about that scripture right there, the part I understand is it's for an appointed time. In other words, God gives a vision to Pastor Keith All of a sudden, Pastor Keith shares that to the house. We all can't figure out how to connect to it. Looks like everything's falling apart. Looks like it's getting worse. See, all of a sudden he gets up and preaches and 25 people leave. Amen. We can't figure out what's going on, and all of a sudden we want to cast away. But I want to tell you something. If the vision's from heaven, don't cast it away.
Amen.
Don't cast it away. In appointed time, God's going to move. Now, I want to say something to you. Last year was a tough year for most churches. Last year was a tough year for most Christians.
Right.
But I believe that last year set us up for this year.
Amen.
And I believe this year is appointed time from God. I don't know exactly what God's doing. I really don't know. But I know He's doing something. I can feel it down in my bones. Amen. I know God is doing something. I know God is on the move. And so I'm not going to cast aside what God has done. I know that God wants to birth churches. I know that God wants to raise up couples. I know that there's nations of the world that this house is supposed to meet. I know that there's something that God's supposed to do in Shelton, and He wants to do it through you. I know that without a shadow of a doubt, that God has His hand upon you. Amen. That God has a plan for your life. I know that. And so I'm going to hang on to that vision. I'm going to connect to that, because it shall not lie. It will come to pass. Say it with me. I will come to visions and revelations. Say it again. I will come to visions and revelations. You are a person that has a future. You are a person that God has faith in you.
Amen.
If He didn't have faith in you, you wouldn't be here tonight.
That's right.
He has faith in you. That's why He brought you here. So you could hear this. God cares about you. God is giving you vision tonight.
That's right.
He's telling you, if you don't have one, start saying, I will come to it. I will come to it. Once you get it, whatever God speaks into your heart, start a children's ministry, go to India, start an orphanage, start prayer, be at prayer. Whatever it is, connect it to the house. Don't make the house serve you, you serve the house. Don't get this thing screwed up. Don't let the kids run the home, you run the home. Don't get it in role reversal, screw you up every time. It'll screw you up every time. Amen. Amen. So the church has a corporate vision that the leadership here has developed. God's given them. So you connect to that. When you connect to that, then the pastor and the leadership has to connect that to the kingdom.
Come on.
Once that kingdom connection begins to flow down, all of a sudden the blessings of the Lord, the favor of God begins to come. And like the Apostle Paul, you begin to come into the revelations. You begin to come into the visions. Even though you don't have all the right resources, even though people look and say, well, you're in Shelton in a little weird building with purple or turquoise pews. Don't matter what color the pews are. It don't matter if there's carpet on the floor. It don't matter what color the building is. It don't matter if your pastor's good looking or ugly. It doesn't matter. Amen. All that stuff doesn't matter. Not everybody can be good looking like me and Pastor Keith. God can use them anyway. God can move anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. God can do something anyway. We're going somewhere. We are somebody. And our eyes will not dim. We're going to be like Moses. We will see till the last day. We will not lose our vision. We will not lose our eyesight. I'm not talking about natural eyesight. I'm talking about vision. Okay? We will believe that there are more for us than that are against us. We will believe that there's more happening in the heavens than any city council, any mayor, any denomination. Anybody can squelch us. They cannot squelch what God has given from heaven to earth. We will believe that we can go forward. We will believe that nothing can stop the plan of God over our lives. We will believe it. We will write it down. And we will fix ourselves on that wall. We will fix ourselves to march forward. We will believe in this thing.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on.
And we will come to visions.
Yes.
And we will come to revelations. I want you to bow your heads. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was just with a pastor in Texas that runs several thousand people. And he told me, he says, man, I'm done. I'm just done. I can't do this no more. I quit. I spent a day with him. All I did was stoke up that vision again. You remember what God told you, son? You remember what God said to you? You remember the dreams that God gave you? Write them down in your heart again. Begin to birth them again in prayer. Begin to speak them out of your church again. This was actually a few months ago I spoke to him. And then I came back just this month and he told me, he says, man, I got to tell you, we had 500 people saved this last month. God is moving again in my church. I feel saved again. I said, well, then now what you do is you quit looking for the runners in your church and look for the readers. Find people that read you. Find people that understand you, that can read your heart, that can read your spirit. You're looking for readers. Find the readers. And then those readers, you impart that vision to them. And you disciple them. You teach them to feed the sheep. You teach them to tend to the lambs. You teach them to take care. You teach them what's in you. You give it to them. Give it all to them. Don't hold back any. Give them everything. So that if something does happen to you, that vision continues on. It carries on. Just like Elijah gave it to Elisha. You pass it on. Just like Jesus gave it to Peter. You pass it on. You let that vision spread. Now I feel in here tonight that some of you have come to a place in your own lives that you just wonder if anything's real or not. And the pressure is great sometimes. Your own family structure, your own finances, everything is just like I'm just losing faith in this thing. I want to tell you tonight, you need to read the house. God is moving. Oh, I thought you just missed that. That's all right. You need to learn how to realize the kingdom is bigger than you. Don't make the kingdom serve you. You serve the kingdom. And if you'll get that right, everything in your life will begin to snap and come into place. I was just again in India. These people, look up at me for a minute. They work all day long, hard, hard, hard labor. Them women are out there beating them rice. They're out of the fields, the mud, their legs are bowed like that because they have to bow all day long in those fields. They work hard for 50 cents a day. And that's only if they can then take the rice and sell it. And yet when I went there, we didn't put one penny into the crusade. They built huge platforms. They had lights up. They had speaker systems. They had all out of people that have 50 cents a day because they connected to kingdom. And God's releasing a flow into them. God's releasing something. That pastor has three or four brand new vehicles. We're talking about from this setting because God moves. God connects. God does things. Out of nowhere, a man comes from Malaysia. I was there. He was taught by Derek Prince, a fantastic speaker. He stood there in front of that church and he said, God spoke to me and he bought him a brand new $86,000 Range Rover. Who paid for it? The Muslim government. God has ways, but you have to connect. If you don't connect, no flow. No flow, and then you say, well, I just can't get in with the vision of the house because you're not connected. Is this making sense to anybody? Stand with me. Stand with me. Join hands with your neighbor. I don't want to hold their hands. Always sit next to somebody you want to hold their hand. Never sit next to strangers you don't want to touch them. Amen. Not in a Pentecostal church. Amen. Now what I want you to do for the next couple of minutes is I want you to first of all pray for the person you got a hold of their hand that God will bring them to visions and revelations. Amen. For their own personal life. Amen. Then I want you to take a moment in this same prayer amongst yourself to say, God, help me connect to the vision of this house. God, help me connect. If you're not from this church, the vision of your house. Help me connect. And if you're a leader, pastors, help us connect that to the kingdom. Help us connect that to the kingdom. Lord, you're calling our church to be involved in the nations of the world. We're called to step out of this boat onto the waters. If we cast our bread on the water, it will come back to us. We know that whatever we invest in missions will come back to us. So we want to connect, oh God. We want to connect to you. So let's all pray. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray. First of all, for your own self. Oh God, let me come to visions and revelations.